I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. I've got a number of short items I'd like to bring up for tonight's program, and also we'll be talking about first contact, hybrid children. We'll be talking about a little bit of extraterrestrial, a little bit of yoga. If you're a regular listener of ET Yoga, I think you'll find it's pretty much what you expect. But before we get into the heart of the matter, I would like to kick off the program in our usual way by having a clip played of Swami Satchidananda leading us in some Hari Om mantra chanting. So if the guys in the booth would play that clip now, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, leading us in a little Japa Yoga. And we'll be talking a little bit more about Integral Yoga later in the program. But before we get on, I would like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And without making any other side comments about the medical situation, I just want to get into the ET Yoga program this evening. You know, after each program, then the following day or two, I like to listen to the broadcast because it's kind of an interesting experience for me. My forte used to be people asking me questions, and thus they're providing sort of the fuel towards what the topics are going to be. But when you do the radio program, I'm become the one that's providing the fuel for the program and the information and content. And why I also sometimes ask for, you know, people in the ET Yoga audience to email me and let me know what kind of things you'd like to hear about. And that's a big help to me as well. And in listening to last week's show, a couple of days after the program, and kind of like to critique my own program, what I kind of came up with is I forgot to mention something that I thought was fairly important. Now, if you didn't catch the last two programs, I've been basically focusing on one of the programs was about reality creation and three different levels of reality creation. And the second program was on three different levels of health. And I really think those are really milestone programs for ET Yoga. So if you haven't caught those, you can always go to the archives, and you can find those at BBS Radio, or you can go to my website at etyoga.com and go on my main page, and there's a sign there that says Radio Archives. Just hit that one button, and it'll take you right to the archives, and you can find the last two programs. And when I was doing the part about health in the last program and three different levels of health, I really got into creating optimum health, which is going way outside the box. In other words, we started off with the basic health foundation as suggested by Bashar. Then we got into secondary levels of how to increase your levels of health. And then we got into like way outside the box stuff, which was kind of like using the violet flame and using the that's from Saint Germain, and from doing the Children of the Sun DNA code activations, and also the Archangel Michael perfect health and well-being activating your template. And I consider those to be very exotic means of really putting your health like right off the charts. And one of the things that I would have liked to have mentioned but didn't, so I'm mentioning it tonight, is sun gazing. And if you're not familiar with sun gazing, I would highly recommend you check out Hira Ratan Manik, and that's H-I-R-A Ratan, R-A-T-A-N Manik, M-A-N-E-K. And he's got some amazing videos on YouTube, and the bottom line is pretty much the sun gazing can cure pretty much anything. And there's a technique involved. And so it's not just that you want to run out there and start doing it. You need to do it safely. And it turns out that an hour after sunrise and an hour before sunset, you can safely look at the sun. I've been involved in this process, and I can I was a little hesitant at first. It took me a while to get into it. I was a little bit scared, to be honest. But finally realized that, you can look comfortably at the sun. I'm up to about a minute and a half, so I can highly recommend that it can be done safely. And bottom line is, it would be what I call an outside-the-box tool, and at no cost, really. It's just a question of being regular in the practice. You start off with 10 seconds at a time and double your time. You don't lose time if you miss a day, so you don't have to, you know, worry about if you've got an inclement weather. Bottom line is you just increase and you work up to different levels. I think the first stage is up to 15 minutes, and then you kind of go from there. But the person I would recommend that you learn this technique from is Hira Ratan Manik. And also, during the week, I came across some interesting information, I think, from Barbara Marciniak, one of her workshops. Made a couple of interesting points that I'm not going to go into in any kind of detail, but just thought I'd pass them on as food for thought. She made a comment that violent video games open you up for possession by dark entities. Interesting that they would mention that, the Pleiadians. And also they mentioned that it's the cell phone towers and the phones that are destroying your world. And they state that there are banks of computers that are not mobile, and they don't need to be mobile because most everybody carries mobile phones around. And I think the point here is that, for the most part, all technology lowers your frequency, and for the most part, it's all about controlling the population. So something you might want to give some thought to, because this technology is... in my opinion, it's way out of hand, and the average person is just absolutely clueless. Now, I would also like to mention interesting information that I have brought up before, but kind of have a little bit of new twist on first contact, and like when first contact's going to be. I don't know that anybody's really stated that. In fact, most of the places that I get information from, they don't even talk about first contact and don't really know who first contact is going to be with. But Bashar has come out publicly and has stated for a number of years that first contact will come from a group that he calls the Shalanaya, and Shalanaya meaning those who come first. And that's the Esasani term for those who come first, and that's why the Esasani call them the Shalanaya. Apparently, the actual race call themselves the Yael. And a lot of people in Arizona have seen their main craft. It was the boomerang-shaped object about a mile wide that flew over the state of Arizona and is kind of commonly called the Phoenix Lights. And there's been a couple of flyovers of the Phoenix Lights in Arizona. And this craft has also been seen in other parts of the planet, but the point being that they are already here. And also, if you're not aware about the hybridization program, or I guess as some people would call it, the abduction program, there has been a lot of people on the planet that have been abducted by the Greys, and definitely they've been experimenting with creating hybrid species. And one of those hybrid species, apparently they created about five different ones. One of those turned out to be the Esasani, which is where Bashar is from. And another one of these successful hybridization programs has resulted in a mix between... Earth humans and Greys, and there are children now that are aboard this Yael Craft, who are very much interested in connecting with their parents on planet Earth. And to my understanding, the sort of plan is that probably even before there's a public contact or some kind of global public awareness of a contact with the EL, then some of these kids are going to be landing in certain isolated places on the planet, and there are already some contacts being made with these kids and their parents. I guess the point of my bringing this up would be that if you feel that you've had kind of some missing time in your life, a couple hours you can't account for, according to the way I used to think about, 5 or 10 years ago, I used to think, maybe there was a few hundred thousand people abducted, but it turns out, according to Bashar, it's like in the millions. So there's a fair chance, a fair portion of the ET Yoga audience probably has had some kind of experience in this area. And if you kind of feel that you might have a hybrid child, and you could be, you know, because you're either a father or a mother, I would suggest you might want to go to a particular website, and it's hybridchildrencommunities.com. And if you would check that out, I think you just might find some interesting connections there. So it's www.hybridchildrencommunity.com. And also came across some interesting information from a person called Spencer Cross, who has a book called The Pyramid Factory. And interesting concept he has that he pretty much goes into pretty much a detailed process whereby the pyramids were actually used to make white powder gold. And struck me as being true, actually. Interesting to note that there's always been a fascination with gold on the planet, and the Anunnaki obviously have a big interest in white powder gold as well. And from what I understand, it's some of their, I mean, certain aspects of the Anunnaki live for like hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and I'm sure that it's the white powder gold that's creating and rejuvenating their cells to the point where they're able to have this sort of lifespans. And an interesting concept. And if you're not familiar with white powder gold, then it ties really into what's called monatomic elements. And if you don't know about monatomic elements, to me, that's the topic nobody seems to know about, so don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Basically, monatomic elements are high-spin electrons, and they're exotic matter. It has they're superconductors. It's interdimensional. I mean, it's just amazing stuff. Mifkut, I think, was the term that the Egyptians used, and which meant, what is it? I mean, they know what it did, but they don't know what it was. And it's also been called the mana. It's been called the philosopher's stone, you know, white powder gold. And there is this Spencer Cross. He's got some interesting information at on YouTube as well. One of the places he recommends is called Ethereum Gold, which is at energeticnutrition.com. And he says that it's kind of a weaker version, but it is the real stuff. So anyway, he says it's very difficult actually online to actually come up with you know, legitimate white powder gold. Also, I could recommend David Hudson lectures 1, 2, and 3. A guy named Barry Carter, Even Bashar has mentioned that there's actually trace amounts of monatomics in a vegetarian diet, as well as things like sea salt and almonds and Welch's grape juice, carrots that are grown in certain parts of the United States. Monatomics are amazing, and if you really get into the David Hudson lectures, you'll see that when it comes in contact with cancer cells, it doesn't kill them, it doesn't fight them, it actually reprograms it. So it's like incredible stuff, and you can see why over the course of time there's been such a this connection with fascination with gold. It's not just because of gold as a purchasing power, but it's the idea of when you melt gold down, you end up with a white powder gold, which has amazing qualities. So it's a subject that you may want to research. And the Pyramid Factory, it's at pyramidfactory.net, I guess, is a way to connect with Spencer Cross's material. And when I was thinking about monatomics, it got me thinking about actually the Andara crystals, too, because the Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. And it kind of led me into thinking about tonight's program and tying into dreams, because dreams are really really an interesting as well as an important topic. And as Bashar states, we need to dream, because if we did not dream, all that would remain is what would remain in control would be the physical mind. And according to Bashar, you'd go mad, because the physical mind does not have what it takes to maintain the focus of physical reality. And I think we've all heard about sleep deprivation and that kind of thing, and what it can, you know, how it affects people. And we really do need the reconnection to higher mind. And what is required is a full dream cycle. And I found an interesting article, actually, by Bashar. It's called Lucid Dreaming. And he states that you are the soul's dream. Your physical life, from the point of view of the higher mind, and most definitely from the soul, is a dream. The soul goes to sleep, in a sense, by projecting itself into the idea of a physical experience and chooses to forget that it is an expanded soul in a timeless reality and knows everything it needs to know. By going to sleep in that way, it dreams of itself being in this physical reality in a kind of limited way, so that it can explore in a certain way an idea free from any other idea intervening with that physical dream. Your life experiences are the dream your soul is having. Lucid dreaming, waking up in a dream and knowing it's a dream, gives you unprecedented ability to control the dream, to determine what the dream experience shall be consciously while you're still in that dream state. Lucid dreaming takes place in the template level of reality, that borderline between the now physical. Higher mind and the physical mind is the reality where you plan out the idea of your day, your life, like a blueprint, like a chart. And when you dream, you can go back there and see the agreements and themes you've chosen to explore and go about rearranging those things from within the template reality. And thus then, when you reconnect with physical reality, you can experience the manifestation physically of the rearrangement you have made in the energetic quasi-physical template level reality that determines all shapes and sizes of things and physical experiments that you have. So lucid dreaming is, in a sense, allowing yourself to wake up closer to being the higher mind expression, closer to being in balance with the higher mind in that template reality. we are the dreams of all that is, and we dream all that is into existence, even as it dreams us into awareness. And he says, wake up into yourselves every day by acting on your highest joy. And that's an article from Bashar. If you're not familiar with Bashar, he's Essasani, and you can go to his website at bashar.org. And in conjunction with that, according to Barbara Marciniak, while channeling the Pleiadians, she states that it's a good idea to keep a record of your dreams. And you don't have to know what the dream means. If you have to interpret them, then you're not allowing the unfolding. By writing things down, you give credibility to that part of yourself, and after a while, you see repetitions and patterns, and it can be a playing field where you will get answers to things that occur in your daily life. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and it certainly also ties into the whole concept about Andara crystals, because by placing an Andara crystal under your pillow at night, when you're in a state of non-resistance, you will entrain with the frequency of the crystal more easily. And most people immediately start to remember their dreams, even if normally they don't. And pretty much everybody I know who has an Andara crystal, first thing they notice is they start remembering their dreams and having lucid dreams. So certainly ties into Andara crystals. And another kind of cool thing about Andara crystals is that they actually pick you. We think that we're picking them, but they pick us to work with. And minerals are extremely communicative, and I might also note that size is not a factor with respect to emitting a giant frequency. I was kind of told of a plant that grows somewhere in a jungle, and I guess it has a root, and that root connects with other plants' roots, and it's kind of like in this field of this particular kind of plant, all the roots in every single plant's connected. Well, Andara crystals are, in fact, I guess all crystals are that way. They're connected in a way that they're all connected. So the size of the crystal isn't necessarily an indication of power. And Andara crystals are new, and they're here to help us with the shift and awakening. And speaking of monatomics, they were found in a field of ethereum, or white powder, which contains monatomics, and they create a direct link to source energy. They have an extremely high electron spin rate, which elevates consciousness and increases your vibration. And the time between conscious thought and physical manifestation decreases. And you can insert your intentions into the stones. They are sort of the next stage of evolution because they are totally magical. They help open you up so you are receptive to receive what you truly want. And they help you to meet any and melt away, actually, discordant energies. And probably people who work with Andara crystals now have worked with them before, like in Atlantean times. And there's also at YouTube, there's a YouTube called Initiation in the Atlantean Pyramid. And in this meditation, you actually receive a crystal, which helps you remember who you were in Atlantis and how that is relevant today. I should point out that you can access the energy of Andaras just by looking at pictures of them, and they're very helpful to people in becoming more self-empowered. According to Erica Rock, who deals with them on a daily basis, she states that they are master beings in stone form and completely unlimited. They are helping us realize who we are. They're very helpful in assisting us to be fully conscious, healthy, and abundant human beings. And that's why I'm making this information available to the ET Yoga audience, because usually at the end of the program, that's what I wish for everybody, for full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And these stones are certainly a big help there. Now, I have mentioned before, but I think it bears repetition, and this is some information, a quote from Thoth, that the Andara is the name to identify Prima Matra crystals. And this find in California was originally seeded for Prima Matra by those we call the Time Walkers, in conjunction with Hydevas, mythologically depicted as unicorns. And approximately 2,000 years after the interdimensional implosion, a Lemurian temple complex was raised on this site, the name of which was Andara, meaning light of beauty and perfection. The primary purpose of this complex was in working with the Prima Matra powders, crystals, and water on the land. And one of the temples in this complex was dedicated to the ancient archetype known as to the Egyptians as Sekhmet and to the Assyrians as Ishtar. While Andara was originally a Lemurian colony, those who participated in the Andara complex became their own race. By this we mean that through their purposeful interaction with the Prima Matra, they transmuted their crystalline DNA, becoming a highly futurized form of human being, even more developed in their light matrix than the Lemurians of that age. And thus, these colonists advanced from Lemurians to Andarians. The Andara crystals were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. And this is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and the structural composition of the crystal formation. And according to Thoth, understanding a kinesthetic continuum would involve a complex dissertation in an area of science that's not known to us. Thus, we will only touch upon this most basic understanding of it here. And in essence, this continuum does not align to a natural polarity, but instead phase matches directly with the universal light matrix, or the golden net of Athena. Thus, utilizing the Andara crystals, one way interacts with Athena's net, and this net moves matter beyond the time barriers. Access to Athena's net allows soul matter units integration with future forms of spirit matter. And thus the Andara crystals contain the most concentrated charge of the monofield, hyperfield, and kinesthetic continuum. And in this respect, they are even more potent than the Prima Matra powders. In addition, they are also very resonant with the Alpha and Omega ancient days, the Omega being the remains of the Alpha, which fused with the Andara crystals formed in the event. The Alpha and Omega of ancient days contain a powerful interdimensional black hole. The Alpha version was in receipt of the black hole, but the Omega contains the latter-day black hole frozen in your space-time. The Andara crystals, while not containing black holes themselves, do resonate with the sentience of the Ancient of Days that had been absorbed into their hyperfield. Understand that there is a sentience within the Ancient of Days, Omega Crystal. This sentience is more ancient than your comprehension could possibly accept, other than to call it eternal. Like Merlin in his magic cave, this sentience has been frozen in your time-space. The sentience of the Ancient of Days is an enlightened source of consciousness, and it comes from the galaxy of Andromeda and was drawn into the hyperfield by the tremendous warping zone that occurred when the third and sixth dimensions touched, or more aptly, collided. And Thoth says, we need to qualify here that only the outer fields of those two dimensions collided, not their true nests or inner fields. Had the nests been penetrated, another fallen universe would have been created. And certainly these Andara crystals, as I pointing out, one of the kind of good things to do with them is just put one under your pillow at night. And another really good thing to do with them is to put one in your water supply, because it'll recharge your water. And if you know anything about the power of water, and that water is a perfect reflector of consciousness, and we're mostly water, well, I'll let you do the math on that one. So kind of to my way of thinking, all that kind of connects, okay? The dream state, monatomics, the Andara crystals, it's all kind of tied together. And I'd also, at this point in time, like to get into a little bit of the more information about the integral yoga, because about 50 years ago, America knew almost nothing of yoga, and there were no Hatha classes at the local YMCA, and health food stores contained only bottles of vitamin supplements and photos of bodybuilders, and few understood the meaning of karma. And when most people thought of a yogi, they remembered a popular cartoon man sleeping on a bed of nails. But all that changed in 1966 when Sri Swami Satchidananda arrived on these shores. And he taught what he termed integral yoga, a combination of physical and spiritual practices of psychological and philosophical approaches to life. And he encouraged selfless service to others, which would help anyone discover and maintain the peace and happiness that were, he said, the birthright of all. And his message resonated with many people in the 1960s who were looking for something greater and deeper than what they perceived as a superficial, materialistic, and unjust society. And his talks drew crowds of young seekers. And he taught classes in Hatha yoga and led kirtan chants and offered yoga in the living room of one apartment in New York City. Soon the classes and lectures moved to a larger venue, and his students organized for him to speak at Carnegie Hall. And his Hatha demonstration and lectures took place in 1969 in front of a standing room only crowd. And then in August of 69, he was invited to give the invocation at the opening of the Woodstock Music and Art Festival, the famous Woodstock, I might add. And later, Integral Yoga Institutes opened up all over the country and drew thousands of people from all walks of life. He was one of the great yoga masters of all time, and he touched the hearts of millions of people all over the world. And I should point out that that would be the perspective, certainly from people who are living on the east coast of the United States. And it should be noted that Paramahansa Yogananda founded Self-Realization Fellowship in California in 1920, and he was the head until he passed away in 1952. And Self-Realization Fellowship has over 500 temples, retreats, ashrams and centers, and meditation circles around the world. And, of course, Yogananda was also the author of Autobiography of a Yogi, which I consider to be the classic yoga text. And central to Yogananda's teachings, which embody a complete philosophy and way of life, are scientific techniques of concentration and meditation that lead to the direct personal experience of God. Thus, yoga had been presented to the American public long before Satchidananda came on the scene, not to take away from his achievements. And I might add that I had the honor of having both as teachers, because I took 2 years of lessons from Self-Realization in Los Angeles, and then also after a private session with Swami Satchidananda, I subsequently followed the Integral Yoga path, and with my success with the Who Am I technique, I'm certainly linked to the teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi. But I might add that I found out about the Who Am I technique from Baba Ram Dass. Interesting I think, to note is that, as Swami Satchidananda would say, the goal of integral yoga and the birthright of every individual is to realize the spiritual unity behind all the diversities in the entire creation and to live harmoniously as members of one universal family. This goal is achieved by maintaining our natural condition of a body of optimum health and strength, senses under total control, a mind well-disciplined, clear and calm, an intellect as sharp as a razor, a will as strong and pliable as steel, a heart full of unconditional love and compassion, an ego as pure as a crystal, and a life filled with supreme peace and joy. That would be Swami's, Satchidananda's definition of integral yoga. And, of course, the word yoga means union of you and your higher self. And integral yoga synthesizes the various branches of yoga into a comprehensible lifestyle system. And the six branches of integral yoga are each powerful tools to gain self-mastery. And Hatha yoga, which has become synonymous in North America with the term yoga, actually focuses on the physical aspects through asanas, which are postures, and pranayama, or breath control. It also involves yoga cleansing, diet, and relaxation. Then there's Raja Yoga, which is balance and control of the mind through ethical practices, concentration, and meditation. Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotion by constant love, thought, and service to the divine. Bhakti Yoga can be practiced by everyone. All that's needed is faith and constant remembrance of God. Karma Yoga, the path of action and selfless service, serving without attachment to the fruits or results of the action. And Jnana Yoga, the intellectual approach, through knowledge of what really exists, that is what is not changeable, one who engages in the path of wisdom, realizes oneness in the entire universe. And Japa Yoga, which we did a little at the top of the program, which means repetition of a mantram, a sound structure of one or more syllables, which represents a particular aspect of the divine vibration. And from time to time on ET Yoga, I do go into some of the specifics on frequencies, and certainly the Hari Om mantra that we do at the top of the show, it's a very high frequency. And certainly an excellent practice. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are very, very busy. In fact, I guess we had a caller a couple weeks ago, and he called into the BBS radio and stated that he really works 80 or 100 hours a week and really doesn't have time for anything. But what he does make time for is listening to the ET Yoga show. And I don't mind telling you that certainly made my week. And this is the kind of person that, if you don't have time to meditate, at least by listening to the ET Yoga show, there's 2 minutes short meditations. They may be short, but they're very powerful. And one's the Japa Yoga that we start the program with. And then at the end of the program, I end with the Who Am I technique. So those are very, very powerful. And in connection with integral yoga, I wanted to tie that in with the Essenes, because the Essenes actually were ancient Atlantean souls, and they had completely overcome the problems of health and aging, and even overcame the force of gravity, as the Atlanteans had been able to do. And in an article by Robert Cheney, he mentions that, and the reason that I'm bringing up the Essenes is because they certainly had a big influence on the life of Jesus and in the whole concepts, at least the true concepts that were taught, not so much the way they've been spun for our modern civilization. But he points out that the Essenes had three basic principles that were followed in their healing. And first, it was believed that divinity was expressed in the plant kingdom as an antidote for the illnesses of the human kingdom, that for every illness there existed a palliative in a root, leaf, bark of a tree or plant. And the Essenes, therefore, were herbalists in the highest sense of the word. And to me, this is where modern medicine is really headed for. It's about healing, not about profit. The times are changing. And clearly, I know Dr. Pete Peterson, he did an interview at Project Camelot, and he brought up the fact that he had a diagnostic machine that measured your organs and from their the different energy points on the body, similar to the acupuncture points. And he stated that apparently in this machine that he created would give you a diagnosis of any personal issues, and with the natural substance and in what quantities that would alleviate the condition. So that's an interesting interview. If you haven't seen Dr. Pete Peterson, and that's Project Camelot, it's in one of her interviews, and you can just look up because she's got the names listed of people that she interviews. And a second method of healing was to make use of healing stones, and that's bits of various kinds of rock or hardened earth, and the power of such stones in influencing magnetic fields under the direction of one who is versed in this style of therapy became common knowledge in a later period, and the Essenes also created salves from natural sources. And the third method of healing, in which the Essenes were extremely well-versed, drew upon the healing powers of the invisible worlds around them. They acquired an unparalleled mastery in manipulating these healing powers of the superior spheres, and they were also aware of the cleansing miracle of pure water. And the Essene communal life was based upon a set of rules of conduct, spiritual disciplines and lifestyles and practices called the Essene Halakhoth. And I should point out that one of the reasons I'm bringing up this connection with the Essenes is that the Essene Halakhoth was in fact a yoga system. And it united seven basic yoga systems in a grand synthesis. And they included Essene Yoga, included Raja Yoga, silent meditation, Hatha Yoga, physical postures and breath work, Bhakti Yoga, love and devotion to God, Jnana Yoga, spiritual study and discourse, Laya Yoga, the science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of spiritual realization, Karma Yoga, creative work for the uplift of all, and Mantra Yoga, verbal prayer, singing and chanting of mantras. So in point of fact, they're almost identical with the six branches of Integral Yoga, except that it also includes this Laya Yoga, L-A-Y-A, which I had never heard of. The science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of spiritual realization. And central to the Essene Yoga was a lifestyle practice that was called the Sevenfold Peace, which included a meditation practice called communions with the Tree of Life. So I think it's pretty fascinating stuff there that, people tend to just think of yoga in terms of the, you know, the postures and the pranayams, but they don't think of the word yoga as the union of you and your higher self, because the fact of the matter is most people aren't even aware they have a higher self. So, I mean, I can see why it wouldn't be maybe a commonly known definition, but it's becoming more widely known, I hope, and through shows like ET Yoga, where we talk about the actual meaning of the yoga. And isn't it interesting to note that 2,000 years ago, basically integral yoga was practiced, and by a very, very high vibrational community that was connected to Atlantean civilization and Atlantean souls. So to me, I don't know, I find that all kind of really fascinating stuff. And of course, in my own personal experience, after having teachers like Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Swami Satchidananda, what I found was that starting in, I guess, about the early 70s through the Seth material and through Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, lots of the information that was, there's always a lot of garbage on the internet, and it takes a lot of discernment. But the fact is that there was a lot of really fascinating material that's been presented to us by extraterrestrials. And even if you don't want to believe it's from extraterrestrials, just take the information. Who cares, you know, where it came from? Does it work or does it not work? And some of those concepts were, you know, like the whole concept that events don't come with built-in meanings, that events are neutral, and we place definition and emotional spin on them. And by placing positive emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you can create a positive experience. Or by creating, by putting a negative spin on the outer situation, you create a negative experience. I mean, to me, this is like, you know, this is really fundamental and very practical stuff that helps you become more self-empowered. Taking 100% responsibility for your outer circumstances, because it's your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, your intentions that create the outer world that you live in. If you're not a frequency match, you can't experience it. That's the way physical reality works. You have to be a physical match for what you experience. So these concepts, to me, are like, they're huge. And the other thing, well, of course, then consciously placing positive spin on certain outer circumstances is another one that's just, according to Bashar, the primary purpose of the rational mind. Primary purpose of the rational mind, placing positive spin on external circumstances. I mean, to me, that's huge stuff, which ties right into the whole ideas of reality creation and then the different levels of reality creation and getting us to do the homework on our beliefs that we've downloaded from the time we were children, because these are all, they're all important, because what we believe helps to create our outer circumstance and our outer world. So all these, what I call the extraterrestrial concepts that really have never been presented in any kind of teaching way for the public, this stuff has all come about, you know, since the 1970s. And to me, it really augments the yogic teachings. It's not in contradiction to them, so it's really a balance between the two, and thus kind of why I came up with the idea of ET Yoga, because it's a combination, the show is, of yogic information as well as ET information. And it doesn't matter whether you want to believe in ETs or not. You're going to find out about it soon enough anyway. Then there won't be any more discussion about that subject, about whether ETs exist, because when we have first contact, I mean, to me, this is like the time when Columbus discovered the New World. It's almost time for the, it's not that there hasn't already been contact, it's just that it hasn't been formally made public. Kind of like when Columbus got to North America. There are other people who were here long before Columbus, but they didn't get credit for it. Wasn't kind of collective, in the collective consciousness, Columbus kind of was the one that got credit for first contact or first discovery of the New World, but did he really? No. It's already been here. We've already had ET contact. It's just a question of, you know, well, you can believe it or not believe it, whatever. All beliefs are equally valid. But as Bashar would point out, if one person believes the world's flat and the other one believes it's round, if it's really round and you believe it's flat, you're going to have a more limited experience of all that is. So if you have beliefs that aren't true, they're true for you, so that's all that really matters. But at the same time, it will still limit your experience if you hold on to false beliefs. I'd like to now take this opportunity to thank the ET Yoga audience, for those people who much appreciate your contacting me concerning comments and ideas about the program. And if you have any kind of questions about anything that I bring up on ET Yoga, you can feel free to contact me, and you can do that by going to etyoga.com and hit the contact button, or you can actually send me an email at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And as usual, I like to wish my listening audience my sincere best for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'm now going to go into sharing a meditation technique called the Vichara. It was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it's called the Who Am I technique. And basically, the idea here would be getting the most high place you can in terms of vibrational frequency. And if doing asanas and then pranayams and a little japa yoga will help you get there, great. Or however you can get there, get in the highest place you can get to, and then try this. Okay, so there is no like intellectual answer to the question. It's an experience. If you go through the doorway, you have the experience. And by the way, if you're an ET Yoga listener and you do the Who Am I technique and you get it and you go through the doorway, please write me. I mean, you talk about make my week, make my month, make my year, okay? You go through that doorway doing the Who Am I technique, and I'm going to be thrilled, because that means that because it was, you heard about it on the show, you did it and it worked. I did it and it worked. So somebody out there, you're going to do it and it's going to work. And the way to do it, the way I did it, I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way, but I would just get as in the most peaceful, calm, highest place I can, become that spot in your ajna center or your third eye. And at that point, you're going to ask the question, who am I, about 30 times, and just kind of get a rhythm for how you want to repeat it, slow or fast, or if you want to wait in between, you'll find what works for you. And but the main idea here is to become that spot. Become that spot in your third eye, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you're in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.